have you turn back to Deuteronomy. You want to have a verse-by-verse study through chapter 8, but I want you to turn to chapter 4 to begin with. Deuteronomy chapter 4. I sure hope the Lord will bring this out, the presentation of this, as He did in the study of it. For your sake, I sure hope He will. The name Deuteronomy, the word Deuteronomy means second law. Second law. What Deuteronomy? The book of Deuteronomy is a rehearsal. It's a rehearsal by Moses of the things that God had said to them and done for them before. Second law. It's a reminder. He reminisces. This is what Moses does through the book of Deuteronomy. He reminisces with the people of Israel about the great things that God has said and done for them. And it's such a relevant book to us today. If you'll read it with spiritual eyes and understanding, it's so applicable, so relevant, so contemporary for us, for the church today. And it's such a marvelous, I hope the Lord will bring this out, it's such a marvelous picture of our Lord Jesus Christ here as well. And it contains many sobering exhortations to faith and to obedience. Now, chapter 4, chapters 1 through 3, Moses rehearses the Lord's deliverance from Egypt, how He brought them out with a strong hand and His leadings over the past 40 years. Now look at chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. He says, "Hearken, therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments." In other words, in light of and in remembrance of the great things that God has done for us, then we ought to be obedient to what He says to us, right? That's the motive for obedience, isn't it, Terry? His grace, His mercy to us, His providence to us. That's the motive. We ought to do these things just because God says them, but we've got a double reason to serve Him and to be obedient, is because He's been so great to us, so good to us. "Hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that you may live." Scripture says, hear the word, the gospel, with the heart. Believe in thine heart, be obedient to the faith, and your soul shall live. Hear, and thy soul shall live, that you may live and go in and possess the land, the promised land. That's eternal life. This is a picture of eternal life. If we hear the word, if we hear Christ's voice, the shepherd's voice, believe, trust, look to Him, we'll live and we'll go in to the promised land with Him. "You shall not add unto the word which I command you," verse 2, "not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it." Now this is a word to me, the preacher, which says, now you declare the whole counsel of God. Don't add to or take away from it. And it's also a word to you to believe the whole counsel of God and obey it. Believe it. Don't add to it or take away from it, that you may keep the commandment of the Lord your God, which I command you. And as Paul, I remind you, Paul said, "Be not spoiled through man's philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, the rudiments of the world, not after Christ." Not after Christ. And remember, verse 4, "Ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day." You see that in verse 4? "You that did cleave unto the Lord your God." Paul exhorted us in one place to continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard. Cling to Christ is what Paul tells us, and this is what Moses is saying here. Cling to Christ, and thank God that you're alive today, that you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. have great reason to thank God that you're alive unto God, that you have spiritual enlightenment, and you're alive. You've been quickened, as Paul said in Ephesians 2, you've been quickened together with Christ by grace. By grace, you say. Thanks be unto God, you're alive, every one of you, this day. Verse 5. Behold, I've taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should go do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. What he's telling us here is that we are to be a witness to all men of the great things that God has done for us. This is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Now, I love these verses. I remember underscoring these years ago. Verses 7 through 10. For what nation, and apply this to the church, what nation, what people is there so great, who has been so greatly blessed, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgment, that has a gospel like this? So righteous is all His law, which I set before you this day. Only take heed to yourself and keep thy soul diligently. That sound familiar? Give diligence. Make your calling and election sure, lest you forget the things that you've seen. That's what we looked at this morning, wasn't it, in Hebrews 6? Lest you forget the things you've seen with thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. Teach them thy sons and thy sons' son, especially the day that you stood before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I'll make them hear the gospel. Don't ever forget that God revealed the gospel to you. Make them, and I'll make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, that they may teach their children. Now look down to verse 23. Take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God. Don't ever leave the gospel. This covenant which God made with you in Christ, take heed that you don't forget it and make you a graven image or go after another gospel, another Jesus whom I've not preached, or the likeness of any such thing. I don't care how close it is. I don't care how close it is. Any likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire. Don't fall from the gospel of grace. That is, don't leave grace, because God is holy. It's all of grace. It's not of works. If we dare to bring any of our works before God, God is holy. He's a consuming fire. And don't serve self or mammon. God is jealous. See that? God is a consuming fire, and He's a jealous God too. You cannot serve God in mammon. You can serve only Him. He's a jealous God. He will not share His glory or His... He will not share it with another. He demands our full service. But listen to this. In mercy and compassion and understanding, and remembering our frame, He remembers our frame, that we're just dust. He remembers that we will forget. There will be times when we will forget the Lord. Could be right now, under the sound of my voice right now, somebody is 1,000 miles away. Thank God it's by grace. Thank God He remembers this. Look at verse 25. When you shall beget children and children's children, when you have children, when you have grandchildren, and you shall have remained long in the land, you old, getting up in years, and everything's settled in and you're fat and sassy, and shall corrupt yourselves. Thank God He knows our frame. And we do. We have. We will corrupt ourselves. And make a graven image or the likeness of anything, shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke Him to anger. Well, if we corrupt ourselves, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. All manner of sin shall be forgiven. Blasphemy shall be forgiven of men. But look over at verse 29. Verse 29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. If from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, you're going to find Him. If you seek Him with your whole heart and with all your soul, and when you're in tribulation and all these things are come upon you, even in the latter days, if you turn to the Lord thy God and be obedient unto His voice. The Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, the covenant with Christ, which He sware unto him. Think about that. Think about it. Remember God's past mercies. Look at verse 32. Ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing yet, or who hath heard such a thing. The angels didn't hear anything about mercy. The heathen nations didn't hear anything about mercy. Israel knew a little bit about mercy. And bless God, we know a little bit about mercy, don't we? Ah, boy. Verse 35. Unto thee, people, unto you, it was showed that thou mightest know the Lord. He is God. There's a lot of people out there who claim to know Him but are worshiping a God of their imagination. But you have had the true and living God revealed to your heart. Unto you. Why me? Unto you. Yes, you. It was showed who God is, that there's none else beside Him. You didn't come up with it on your own, did you? God revealed it to you by His grace. Verse 39. Now know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, and remember it well, that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There's none else. There's no other God. Then, in chapter 5, Moses reminds the people of God's law and His commandments. And he goes through the Ten Commandments there in Deuteronomy 5. And I remind you and me, like Paul said, it's not as we're without law to God, but we're under law to Christ. It's even more binding. He that keepeth Christ's commandments, His words, His teachings, His precepts, followeth Him. That's Christ's disciples. And we're bound to give thanks, Paul said, beloved of the Lord, for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, for God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Chosen you of all people. Now look over chapter 7 with me. Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy 7, verse 7. Why did the Lord choose me, choose you? Why? Because you're something special? Verse 7, the Lord didn't set His love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. But you were the fewest, less than least, the chief of sinners. That's you, that's me. That's why. Why did He choose, whom He did foreknow? Why did God love us? Even so, Lord, it seemed good in your sight. And whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate, and so forth. But because the Lord loved you, verse 8, and because He would keep the oath which He has sworn unto your fathers, there that this is Christ, because He'd keep that covenant of grace which He made with Christ from the beginning, the Lord hath brought you out with a mighty hand. He's sworn And Paul said in one place he swore when he could swear by no greater. He swore by himself. He swore unto Christ, made this covenant with Christ, and he brought you out with a mighty hand. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Christ, the Son of the right hand, the right arm of the Lord. It brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen. That is, he had the handwriting, he's nullified, he's taken away the handwriting of ordinances that were against you. The bondage of the law, free from the law, bondmen. And from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the God of this world, he brought you out from the dominion and the power of sin and Satan. Do you remember that? Isn't this motive enough to praise and serve our God? All this, His goodness. Well, now over chapter 8. Now it really gets good. Now, dig in here. Roll your sleeves up. I got mine rolled up. And it really gets good here. What do they say? Grab a hold of your pants. We're going to jump a creek or something like that. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. Now, all the commandments which I give thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in. What did Christ say? If a man love me, he'll keep my words, my commandments. Right? All the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live. Live. If you hear His voice, if you believe Christ, this is His commandment, that you believe on the Son. If you hear and believe, you're going to live. You're going to live. Eternally live. And you'll multiply. You'll bear fruit. You'll multiply. And you'll go in. In where? In Christ. And into the promised land. Possess the land. Possess the land which the Lord sware unto Christ. You'll possess the land. Verse 2. And thou shalt remember. Now you ought to remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee. What's the way? Christ. Remember me. Christ said, this do in remembrance of me. Remember Christ, the way. Remember all the way. All the way my Savior leads me. Remember Christ, the way, the Lord thy God, who led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Some of you have been around that long, and then some. In this wilderness, the wilderness of this world. Remember His past mercies. Don't forget them. God's sovereign providence in your life. Don't forget it. And He did these things. Everything He did, everything works together for good. What is the good purpose of God in the life of a believer? Right here. To humble you. To humble thee and prove thee. It's a trial of your faith, Violet. It's a fiery trial, though, isn't it? To prove you. To prove you, to know what was in your heart. Whether thou wouldst keep His commandments or no, whether or not you trust Christ or not. And He humbled thee, verse 3, and suffered you to hunger. God does all these things to wean us from the world and make us hunger and thirst for the Lord our righteousness, for Christ and His righteousness. To hunger and thirst. And He fed you. After you became hungry and thirsty, He fed you with manna, which you didn't know anything about to begin with. He fed you with manna that thou knewest not. You didn't know Christ. You didn't come to Christ. Christ came to you. You didn't come to the table. The table was already prepared, and He drew you to it. Fed you with manna, and your fathers didn't know it. And some of you all, your fathers didn't know it, did they? That He might make you to know, though. Why you, Joe Parks? That He might make you to know that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word. You live by Christ. That there's more to this life than just eating, drinking, and being married. Christ is life. That He might make you to know that man lives by the word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. That's how man lives, to make you to know Christ, the living bread, which came down from the Father. And verse 4, and all these years your raiment waxed not old. What is your raiment? What is your covering? What is your robe that you wear? It doesn't wax old, does it? It's new. It's good news. It's a good garment and it stays new. It'll last all the way through. It'll keep you till hoary hairs. And neither did your foot swell. You shod with the gospel of preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel's still running mighty well, isn't it? After all these years, still running mighty well. And it just fits. Still fits right, doesn't it? Perfect 9C. 9C. And thou shalt also consider, verse 5 and 6, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Paul said, don't despise the chastening of the Lord. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And you think of these trials as being blessings from God. Can you? They are. He makes the world fat and sassy. Gives them everything they want. Leaves them alone. Makes them rich and increased with goods. Have need of nothing. He makes you needy, poor and needy, and through many trials, so that you look to him. And gives you that everlasting portion. Abraham was all down in the mouth, you know, because Lot got the best of well-watered plains and all that. Lot was going to have big old beefsteak tomatoes, you know, and he's going to have to hold rocks up in the mountains. And he was all fussing and mumbling and groaning. And God said, Abraham, I'm your portion. You got me. I'm going to have to go out there and down there and dig Lot right out of hell itself. This world is not, this is not your dwelling place, Abraham. And child of God, this is not your dwelling place. Therefore thou shalt keep, verse 6, the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. Think of trials, like I said, as blessings. Remember that illustration I gave you of Walter Gruber's little adopted Mexican girl. Remember how I told you how that Walter and Betty, she was such an obedient little girl, so sweet. And how that Walter and Betty had natural children, and they were typical American kids, you know, had to beat the daylights out of. Well, the little girl, she was sad because she wasn't being chastened like the rest of them. She didn't think that they loved her like they did their own natural children. So one day she did some pitched fit, you know. And after Walter got through spanking her, through tears running down her face, she had a big smile on her, a big smile. And she told Walter, now I know you love me. And as Psalm 73 and Psalm 37 says, and we just said it, God doesn't withhold these things from the world, but gives them to them. That's their portion. And the world is going to reap what they've sown. You reap to this earth, reap to the flesh, you'll sow corruption, right? Sow to the Spirit, if you set your affection on things above, where Christ is. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. What thing? Well, you got everything you need here, but you're going to have a hundredfold in heaven. Yeah, boy, and fear the Lord. Walk in his ways to fear him. The scripture says, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. Fear the Lord. Verse 7, the Lord thy God brings thee into a good land. Oh, my dear people. The Lord thy God bringeth thee. Think about this scripture. I thought about this over in Hebrews 2:10. It became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons unto glory. The Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, promised land, a land of brooks of waters, fountains, depths, spring out of valleys of hills, water, Christ, fountains, springing up. He says the well of water, this water that I give to you will be like a well spring, springing up. Ever fresh, fresh water. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And a good land. You know, we're just like right now. The children of God are experiencing a little bit of what the children of Israel did when they came right to the Jordan. As they were just about to enter into the promised land. And remember, they sent spies into and that's when they ran into Rahab. They sent spies into the land. And they came back carrying grapes bigger than they could haul. Remember that? The grapes of Eshcol. Is that the Eshcol grapes? And all these things, fruits, and said, oh, it's a good land. The spies have come back, Joshua and Caleb, you know, and so it's a good land. It's a wonderful place. And we're kind of like those children. We're getting in on a little of that. What we're doing right here is like sampling what's to come. It's going to be a good place now. You know, every now and then you get a little taste of what it's going to be like to really worship God, to really rejoice in the Lord, and really enter into His fellowship, the fellowship of the saints. Can you imagine what it's going to be like unbridled? Unbridled? Nancy, some of you say sometimes, boy, I felt like shouting. And I always say, well, do it. Well, up there, we's a-gonna do. We're gonna. Nobody's going to say, well, you done. Because everybody's going to be. I'm not getting charismatic. It's a little taste of Christ, a little taste of glory. Verse 8, a land of wheat and barley. You know, I don't like white bread. I don't like light bread. I like whole wheat bread. Pasteurized, homogenized, and sanfordized, and crystallized that bread, get it white like that. Little children like it. I don't. I like whole wheat bread. And buddy, I like a whole wheat gospel too. Full of Christ. Full, a whole Christ. And you people here are served a sovereign, saving Christ. Not a sweet little Jesus, but a whole gospel, right? A gospel that'll save your soul. A gospel that'll keep you all the way to the end. Call it high on the hog preaching. You know where that saying came from, don't you? Poor folks used to always eat pig feet and stuff. You know, wait, the scraps, pig feet. Now you eat fat back. This gospel is fat back preaching, Joe. High on the hog preaching. Ham and pork chops preaching. What a black man would call it. High on the hog. Whole wheat gospel. Vines, he said. A land of wheat and barley. And vines, that's Christ the vine, isn't it? Vines and fig trees, Christ the tree of the life. Pomegranates, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Oil, land of oil, of olive. That's the anointing of the Holy Spirit, gospel oil. Are you looking at it? Verse 8, honey. David said, your word's sweeter to my mouth than honey. Sweet honey, honey out of the rock. Verse 9, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Y'all could come in here any old time and get a good meal, can't you? Any time. Oh, boy. Any old time, pure gospel. Without scarceness. And thou shalt not lack anything in it. Not lacking anything. We are complete in Him. This gospel is a complete gospel. Complete salvation, isn't it? Of God, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. He is all I need. Everything. You don't lack anything, right? The Lord is my shepherd. I will not, I shall not want for anything needful. A land whose stones are iron. Christ's a solid rock. Let's see here. Stones are iron. Out of whose hills do you dig brass? We've been digging brass on Wednesday nights, haven't we? Huh? Laver of brass? Altar of brass? Right? Brazen altar? Been digging brass. Digging for Christ. And we've dug Him up. and worship.
And when you eat, look at verse 10. When you eat, when you've eaten and are full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God.
I was sitting down in the study the other day preparing this message. I couldn't hardly contain myself. I was sitting there and enjoying the study of the Word. The Lord was speaking to my heart, and the rain was falling outside, and the grass was so green, the flowers were blooming, the trees were in full bloom, and doing the thing that I love to do. And Vicki was over here playing the piano up there, and she was playing, just happened to be playing when I came to this verse. She was playing the song, Why Should He Love Me So? And I thought about this song, Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your mouth with good things. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. When you've eaten and are full, bless God. Bless the Lord thy God for the good land He's given you. This unspeakable gift.